Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dharini Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dharini Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dharini Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodhanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodhanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodhanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Vrajakachari Ashto Tarshata Shri Shri Buddha's Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Avindha Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Hridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Brajbhumi Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jaye, Maya Punadip Dham ki jaye, Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham ki jaye, Ganga Maya Jamuna Maya ki jaye, Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani ki jaye, Samaved Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaye, Kaliva Bhavan Harinam Sankirtan ki jaye, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki jaye, Nitai Gaura Premanande, All Grace Assembled Devotees, All Grace Assembled Devotees, All Grace Assembled Devotees, All grace, all grace, all grace to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर्स 9 एंड 10। अहम् इति श्री भगवान उवाच। अहम् इत्यन्यथा बुद्धिः प्रमत्तस्य यथा हृदि उत्सर्पति रजो घोरम् ततो वैकारिकं मनः। श्री भगवान उवाच। अहम् इत्यन्यथा बुद्धिः प्रमत्तस्य यथा हृदि उत्सर्पति रजो घोरम् ततो वैकारिकं मनः। श्री भगवान् उवाच। अहम् इत्यन्यथा बुद्धिः प्रमत्तस्य यथा हृदि उत्सर्पति रजो घोरम् ततो वैकारिकं मनः। श्री भगवान उवाच। अहमिन्यथा बुद्धि यथा हृदि श्री भगवान उवाच। अहमित्यन्यता बुद्धिः प्रमत्तस्य यथा हृदि उत्सर्पति रजो घोरम् ततो वैकारिकं मनः। श्री भगवान उवाच। अहमित्यन्यथा बुद्धिः प्रमत्तस्य यथा हृदि उत्सर्पति रजो घोरम् ततो वैकारिकं मनः। माताजी श्री भगवान उवाच। अहमित्यन्यथा बुद्धिः प्रमत्तस्य यथा हृदि उत्सर्पति रजो घोरम् ततो वैकारिकं मनः। I'll just read out verse number 10. रजो युक्तस्य मनसः संकल्पः सविकल्पकः तथा कामो गुणध्यानाद् दुषः स्याद्धि दुर्मतेः। सो वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। श्री भगवान उवाच। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड सेड अहम् फॉल्स आइडेंटिफिकेशन विद ए मटेरियल बॉडी एंड माइंड इति दस अन्यथा बुद्धिः illusory knowledge pramatasya of one who is bereft of actual intelligence yatha accordingly hridi within the mind utsarpati arises rajaha passion ghoram which brings terrible suffering ततः देन वैकारिकम originally the mode of goodness. Manaha, the mind. Rajaha, in passion. Yuktasya, of that which is engaged. Manasaha, of the mind. Sankalpaha, material determination. Savikalpakaha, along with variation and alternation. Tataha, from that. Kamaha, full-fledged material desire. Guna, in the modes of nature. Dhyanat, from concentration. Dusaha, unbearable. Syat, it must so be. He, certainly. Durmatehe, of a foolish person. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, a person bereft of intelligence first falsely identifies himself with the material body and mind, and when such false knowledge arises within one's consciousness, material passion, the cause of great suffering, pervades the mind, which by nature is situated in goodness. Then the mind, contaminated by passion, becomes absorbed in making and changing many plans for material advancement. Thus, by constantly thinking of the modes of material nature, a foolish person is afflicted with unbearable material diseases. Desires. Purport. Those who are trying to enjoy material sense gratification are not actually intelligent, although they consider themselves most intelligent. Although such foolish persons themselves criticize the miseries of material life in innumerable books, songs, newspapers, television programs, civic committees, etc., they cannot desist from material life for a single moment. The process by which one is helplessly bound in illusion is clearly described here. A materialistic person is always thinking, oh, what a beautiful house. I wish we could buy it. Or, oh, what a beautiful woman. I wish I could touch her. Or, what a powerful position. I wish I could occupy it. And so on. The words sankalpaha, savikalpakaha indicate that the materialist is always making new plans or modifying his old plans to increase his material enjoyment. Although in his saner moments, he admits that material life is full of suffering. The mind is created from the mode of goodness as described in Sankhya philosophy. And the natural peaceful situation of the mind is pure love of Krishna, in which there is no mental disturbance, disappointment or confusion. Artificially, the mind is dragged down to a lower platform in passion or ignorance, and thus one is never satisfied. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, a person bereft of intelligence first falsely identifies himself with the material body and mind. And when such false knowledge arises within one's consciousness, material passion, the cause of great suffering, pervades the mind, which by nature is situated in goodness. Then the mind contaminated by passion becomes absorbed in making and changing many plans for material advancement. Thus, by constantly thinking of the modes of material nature, a foolish person is afflicted with unbearable material desires. Hare Krishna. There's a very natural process in nature, the process of diffusion. If you keep two containers with salt, right, salt water, but different amounts of salt. One has very less salt, the other has a lot of salt. And if you connect the two containers, what do you expect? Eventually, if you connect them below or whatever, eventually the solutions will have the same concentration of salt. So nature of this world is that if you associate with something, associate with a material object, contemplate on it for too long, that object actually pervades your mind. Whether that object exists there outside or not, it is there inside. You are actually carrying it. And we don't have to elaborate on this. We all have experience with the advent of malls and so many displays. The aspirations that get created in the minds of young children, the aspirations that get created in the minds of elderly children, very old children also. So the aspirations are all over. The mall, the display may be in one place. You may have Bollywood being screened in one place. But the aspirations and the thoughts are all over. This is the process of diffusion. And the diffusion can take various forms. It can be contemplation on a house, contemplation on the opposite sex, contemplation on objects to eat. Because a person, when his stomach is full and satisfied, he can't think of eating. But the moment there is hunger, instead of just thinking of satisfying the hunger, you are thinking of how to satisfy the tongue. And that's what Rupa Goswami he appeals. Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam jivha vegam udropasta vegam ek etan vegan yo vishayet adhira sarvam apima prithvim sashishyat. One who can actually regulate his senses, the vega, the impulses of the mouth, of the tongue, of the stomach, of the genitals, of the skin, he can actually make followers all over the world. So, in nature we see this process called diffusion. But in nature we also see another process called osmosis. All plants get their water through roots. Right? But plants maintain a very nice process. There is a membrane that actually makes sure that only water and other content that the plant can assimilate are sucked up. So that the soil maintenance properties, the plant gets the water, the moisture from the soil. When there is this membrane which actually protects the living entity who is performing service, who has a particular designated role in society, from the influence of the surroundings, he can actually contribute to that society. People who are influenced by mall, people who are influenced by their senses, can they contribute to that society? They actually become victims of that society. They become victims of that propaganda. They cannot contribute to that propaganda by reducing that propaganda, by giving that propaganda the right direction. So therefore, when the scriptures guide us in this way, the scriptures are actually helping us become better instruments of change. Somebody may say, oh, is this calling for isolation? It's not for isolation. It is for protection. There's a difference between isolation and protection. It is not that the plant and the soil are isolated from each other. The plant and the soil protect each other's properties so that the soil nourishes the plant, and the plant, in fact, the leaves of a plant are very amazing. In nature, we see such synergy that when the leaves, they are devoid of chlorophyll, right? Such a nice process. When the leaf is devoid of chlorophyll, the leaves themselves fall on the ground, mix with the soil, and say, I have no longer in much use. I have no chlorophyll. I can't do photosynthesis. So here I am. I will offer myself to the soil. So this process of synergy and coexistence is what the scriptures are encouraging us to do. Not a process of diffusion. Getting rid of your identity by yielding to the bombardment. And it is not that this danger is only there today. This danger that is being talked about. What a beautiful house. I wish I could buy it. You can see this danger even in the olden times. And therefore, Arjuna asks Krishna in the middle of the battlefield. Why is it that Atakena Prayuktayam Papam Charati Purusha Anichannapi Varshneya? Sometimes I have no desire. I have not been contemplating on performing some papa. But Anichannapi, even without any Icha, Varshneya Baladiva, as if by force. How is that happening? So Kamayesha Krodesha. So Krishna says, yes, the process of diffusion is always active. But then Krishna also advises Arjuna. He says, but Dhuvenavriyate Vanhe Ditadarsho Malenacha Itholve Navrto Garva Satadene Davratam. How do you get rid of this karma which is actually pervading everywhere and has different layers? He says, one can actually employ this karma properly by making it subordinate to dharma. Dharma Vriddhom Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarshava. Therefore, Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a very natural hierarchy that should be followed. Indriyani paranyahur, indriyebhyap parammanaha. Manasastu parabuddhe, yo buddhe parasastu saha. Krishna says that the natural hierarchy is that beyond the senses, beyond the sense objects are the senses. The sense objects should be maintained such that they are not subordinate to the senses, sense objects. The senses should be always in control of themselves over the sense objects. And Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport in this to this verse, where he refers to this analogy from the Puranas. Atmanam rathinam viddi shariram ratham evacha buddhim tu sarathim viddi mana pragraham evacha indriyani paranyahur vishyanteshu gocharan. So just like if you have a ratha, then you need to ensure that the horses are in control. The horses may go here and there. They may be attracted by water. They may be attracted by grass. But then you have reins to control the horse. That is like the mind. And then the reins have to be controlled by the sarathi, which is like the intelligence. So indriyani paranyahu indriyebhya paramana manasastu parabuddhe. The mind has to be subordinate to the intelligence. Yo buddhe parasastu saha. And the living entity, the jivatma, is transcendental to all of them. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, with intelligence one has to seek out the constitutional position of the soul and engage in the mind always in Krishna consciousness. That solves the whole problem. A neophyte spiritualist is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of senses. But aside from that, one has to strengthen the mind by the use of intelligence. So the whole process is not just keeping it subordinate, but strengthen it. So that the mind calls out to intelligence. The senses call out to the mind. That please guide me. Just like if you bring up a child very nicely. As Chanakya Pandit says, that Lalayat Panchavarshani Dashavarshani Tadayat Prapte Tu Shoshe Varshe Putram Mitram Samacharet. He said, okay, after a point, the child should become like your friend. But when can that happen? When you have developed such a nice relation with a child. If you have put the child for babysitting almost 18 hours in a day, where is the relation with the child to become friends with the child? Right? So, Prabhupada says the mind should be strengthened by the intelligence through this regulative process, so that the mind actually seeks out the intelligence. Of course, there is a beautiful description through another allegory of the of King Puranjan and his wife, who actually represents intelligence. But creating that samskar, creating that process. And Prabhupada says, By intelligence, one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness by complete surrender to the Supreme Lord. Then automatically the mind becomes stronger, and even though the senses are very strong, like serpents, they will no longer be effective than serpents with broken fangs. But even though the soul is a master of intelligence and mind, and the senses also, still, unless it is strengthened by association with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, there is every chance of falling down due to the agitated mind. So we have one has to strengthen all of these, so that they operate in their natural ontological position. There are three interesting terms that come up very often in our literature. One is prakriti. Prakriti. Prakrishta rupena kriti. That kriti, kriti means activity. Therefore, prakriti is not the same as nature, because prakriti has the potency to not only act but also activate. Kriti is always alive. Prakrishta rupena, that which is natural. So one can say, for example, if one is very hungry and there is some plate of prasadam. Prakriti is, I'm very hungry, stomach is demanding, and senses are also drawn. Let me eat. And likewise, one can give examples in every domain. However, one can purify his senses and make the consciousness so elevated that one not only thinks about oneself, but also thinks about others. One not only thinks about oneself today, but one also thinks about oneself tomorrow, in fact, the next life, life after life. One not only thinks about himself and people around him, but also very naturally is concerned about the source, the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati. When that thought process, by that process, when, as Prabhupada says, one strengthens the mind and intelligence, that's called samskriti. Samskriti has different aspects, but samyak kriti is one way of looking at it. Samyak. Proper kriti. Prakrishta rupena kriti is natural. I feel hungry, I'll eat. But samyak kriti means, I am hungry. This is a plate of prasadam. Let me find out how many people are yet remaining to have prasadam, right? It may be very attractive, but there may be three or four others. And therefore, okay, rice may be more. There may be only a little bit of, shak or whatever, some nice sabji. So I'll have a little bit and also leave the remaining for others. So that is samskriti. Also there is an element of sama. Just like the way I treat myself, I need to treat others also the same way. It's a very beautiful verse. Atmopamyena sarvatra samam pasyati Arjuna. Dukham va yadi va sukham sayogi mai vartate. Krishna says that yogi attains me who atmopamyena sarvatra. By upama with oneself. I am hungry. Someone else is also hungry. Same feeling that I have, he also has. One is able to relate. Atmopamyena sarvatra samam pasyati Arjuna. Samam. Through that lens, he is able to see others equally. Or Chanakya Pandit also says, right? Matravat paradareshu, paradraveshu loshtravat, atmavat sarvabhuteshu. The way I want others to treat me, that same way I treat others. So samskriti is expanding the scope beyond oneself. And actually expanding the scope beyond oneself in this life, expanding the scope to the Supreme Lord, who has actually designed everything for the well-being of all his parts and parcels. So it all depends on how much one is on that process. It's all a process. It's a journey. But to be stuck in just saying this is my nature is not human form of life. Like Prabhupada, Govinda Dasi Mataji, very simple pastime many of us have heard, that this was in a beach, I think in Los Angeles, and there's a garden, and then there was small creature, small insect, slug, they call it in English. And that slug was crawling. And the Mataji was looking at this slug. And Prabhupada told Mataji, chant to that poor creature. And the compassion, the feeling with which Prabhupada was saying, Mataji was very touched. And she actually started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. and the tone, the feeling with which Prabhupada said, she actually got the message that we have got this human form of life, we are very privileged, but we have to share that privilege. That creature may not be able to chant. And she relates that how post that event, every time she would see a slug, she would actually go and chant. She would remember that episode. However, there is another third word, vikruti. I know I can only eat half of this prasadam. But the person who is remaining behind, I cannot get along with him. So I will make sure I finish the prasadam. I will not leave anything for him. That is vikruti. I mean, vikruti is any kind of transformation, but vikruti is specifically, even in Ayurveda, refers to this, where one is opposing one's constitution, even nature you are going against, for not the well-being of others, but for harming others. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, there are two words again used very often, swabhav and swadharma. So, swabhav is largely related to prakriti. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. This verse, prakrite kriyamanani, any activities are being performed by prakriti. Kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah, and they are activated by the three modes of material nature. Ahankara, but a person, he is so bewildered by false identification with the body, with the mind, with everything that is associated with the body and the mind. Kartaham iti manyate, I am doing it. So, swabhava is largely to do with my nature, the nature of the body, nature of the mind. However, the whole Vedic literature is about how we can move from swabhava to swadharma. Because in Krishna again and again, he tells Arjuna that swadharma vapi chaveksha navikampitum arhasi dharmadi yuddhat shreyam yat kshatriyasana vidyate. You should never give up your swadharma. Now, sometimes we just look superficially without going into the depths of sadhana. Swabhav is often associated only with hobbies, and then swadharma also just becomes hobby. But swadharma is much deeper, because one is actually appreciating his relationship with the Supreme Lord and his creation. That is dharma. The whole process of purification, so that one transforms or transcends his lower callings and transforms his swabhava into swadharma, is a process of purifying his mind, purifying his senses. Dhritikshama damastoyam shaucham indriya nigraha dhir vidya satyamakrodo dashakam dharma lakshanam. There are 10 symptoms of dharma which will help one transform this swabhava, which is dhriti. Even in opposing situations, not to move away from the goal. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana bhushakayanantasya buddhayo vyavasayana. You are so fixed on the goal. The goal is what? Is it that I just have to have this prasadam? No. I need to nourish this body so that it's used for service. Krishna tells the gopas that etava janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu kam pranayarthe riya vacha shreya acharanam sada. Krishna tells the cowherd boys, these trees, their life is glorious. Their life is successful. Why? Because to their pran, to their artha, to their vacha, they are actually shreya acharanam sada. Their activities for the well-being of others. It's not just abhyudaya, where you are only working for your current well-being, but nishreya, which is shreya, shreya nishreya, which is for the well-being of others for long time to come. So dhriti, the second element is shama. Shama is according to my capacity, according to my jurisdiction, I forgive. I don't harbor ill feelings for long. In fact, one of the words here is also akrodho, satyam akrodho. That's also related. Actually, no activity should be performed out of anger. There may be anger, but when you're performing that activity, It has to be performed with intelligence only. Yes, Krishna did remind Arjuna that you have to fight for justice of all, not just yourself. And therefore, you cannot suppress the anger that all of you, especially Draupadi, has towards the Kauravas. But at the same time, you cannot just act out of anger. You have to act out of discrimination. So, Satyam Akrodho and Shaucham Indriya Nigraha, cleanliness. Om Apavitra Pavitro Va, Sarva Vastha Gatopi Va, Yas Maret Pundari Kaksham Sabhaya Abhyantara Shuchi. By remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every situation, chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One can purify oneself externally, and at the same time, one maintains a culture by which one is constantly purifying his mind, his senses, by engaging them. Prabhupada gave a beautiful lecture, and he was saying that, quoting this word, Sarvopadivi Nirmuktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Rushyate. And he was appealing to the crowd, saying that Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, by you can engage your service, senses in the service of the master of the senses, the Supreme Lord. And the master of the senses is actually all pervading. He is present everywhere. So there is actually no way in which any living entity can be excluded from the service of the Lord. Prabhupada, in that lecture, he explains this verse in a very inclusive way. Actually, everyone can engage his senses in the service of the master of the senses. So, Shaucham Indriya Nigraha. So, like this, through the process of Dharma Lakshanam, through the process of the Swadharma, one can actually purify one's Swabhava. That transformation. We are giving the example of, we are comparing the process of diffusion with the process of osmosis, which is so profound in nature. What are those internal checks and external checks that a devotee can practice in his life, so that one is not swayed away? How can one ensure that the sense objects I am perceiving are not going to haunt me from inside, as was described in this purport? How can I ensure that I maintain my identity like the soil maintains its identity in relation to the plant while nourishing each other? So we see so many examples in scriptures. We'll refer to a few of them. One of the very important points, which is again coming back to this verse, is a healthy fear of material existence. Is that membrane, is one element of that membrane which can protect us from being swept away by material aggrandizements. And therefore, there was always a tradition of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing Mahabharata, discussing Ramayana, discussing the scriptures on a daily basis, so that one protects, forewarns himself, not being sufficiently afraid of Maya, not being sufficiently afraid of Prakriti degrading into Vikriti, is a very important element towards progressing towards Samskriti. And we see this one example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going through South India, he went to this Kurma Kshetra, and there we find beautiful conversation that took place with a Brahmana who is named as Kurma Brahmana. And this Kurma Brahmana, he says, Kripa Kora Prabhu Mora Yantumara Sange Sahitena Pari Dukha Vishayatarange. He says, my dear Lord, I'm actually floating in the ocean, Vishaya Taranga, being tossed up and down. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's a fact that one may be very happy as far as riches are concerned, and one may be very opulent in every respect, yet one has to manage the Vishayas to meet the demands of the body and of so many family members and subordinates. So as a very honest Grihastha, this Kurma Brahmana was admitting that there are so many things to manage. Sometimes things are favorable, sometimes things are not favorable. What did he say? What was his mood? Because his mood is that this body, human form of life, is very rare. Yes, it is rare, and it, It is to be used for its own perfection, janma sartak kari and kari paropkar. It has to be used for others. So unless it's maintained properly in alignment with the mind, in the intelligence and the ultimate goal, relation with God, it may distract one. So there's a healthy fear he exhibited. Because in the same 11th canto as we proceed, the 20th chapter, we are now discussing the Hamsavatar, how he answers questions, conversations with Brahma and others. And we'll see in the 20th chapter, this beautiful verse, Nideham Adyam Sulabam Sudurlabam Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karanadharam Mayanukulena Navaspati Retam Puman Bhavabdim Nataretsa Atmaha. That this body is so rare. And that's what the Kurma Brahman is reflecting. Sulabham Sudurlabham. It's very simple to use this body to cross over the material existence, yet this body is rare. This human form of life is rare. Plavam sukalpam. There's a word su is used many times. It's explained that it's a suk. It's a perfectly constructed boat. Sukalpam. The prefix su is used 3 times here. So as much as it's so favorable, one has to be that much careful also. Just like the body has an amazing digestive system. So that to that extent, one has to be careful of not messing up the digestive system with pizza and pasta. Right? Because though it may be attractive to the senses, but you should know that Krishna has designed something very profound internally, which has to be protected. So, what does he say? He says that, I don't want to be distracted. And Guru Karanadharam, oh Lord, you have yourself come here. You are Karanadhara. Guru Karanadharam. Because you can help me navigate this ocean. Mayanu kulena navaspati retam. So the Lord is saying actually in this verse, in the 20th chapter of the 11th canto, that the instructions of the Supreme Lord, they are like favorable winds that ply this boat. And therefore one who doesn't use this boat to cross over the material ocean is Atmaha. He is actually just performing willingly. Actually, willingly is killing himself. Is committing suicide willingly. So then, what was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response? Very profound. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, do not speak like this again, O Brahmana. The Brahmana is saying, I cannot tolerate, so let me come with you. Let me just join you. Let me give up everything that exists here. Let me come with you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, do not speak like this. Why? I have something more sublime to offer to you. What is the purpose? Why would you want to leave everything and come with me? Because you want everything to be aligned with the ultimate goal of life. You want this body to be used for its perfection. I'll tell you how to use this body for its perfection right here. He said, Yare dekhe tare kaho Krishna padesha. Amaragya guru hona tarayai desha. That whomever you see, give him Krishna Upadesh, him or her Krishna Upadesh. And by my instruction, Amaragya, you become Guru and deliver everyone in this world, in this place where you are, Tarayai Desha, in this land. So, one element of Sanskriti, if you study its elaboration in many places, is that An aspect of Sanskriti is that it always expands. It will never be stagnating. It will always expand. And therefore, you will find in all our script, in so many literature, you will find evidences of our of Vedic literature, of Vedic culture having spread throughout the world. Why? Because knowledgeable rishis in the past would actually traverse different tracts of land to spread. Just like the human body will be remaining alive as long as it interacts with the nature, as long as it's breathing, inhalation. So any civilization, to remain alive, it has to breathe. An aspect of breathing is preaching, is spreading. It was always the case. It was always spreading. Therefore, we find this, we have all heard this verse. Girata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abira shumba yavana khashadaya tenye cha papa yadapashrayashraya shuddhyante tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. The Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, said that remembrance of that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is so profound that people from all tracts of land, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pushkasha, it said that Kirata, there Prabhupada writes, a province of old Bharat Varsha is Kirata. Then he says, of Huna is the area of East Germany. Pulinda is mentioned in the Mahabharat as the inhabitants of the province of name Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhimasena and Sahadeva. And the Greeks, Prabhupada says, they are known as Pulindas. And although they are mentioned in Vanaparva Mahabharata. In fact, when the Ratsuya Yajna, there is a description, it explained that when Dhananjaya, Arjuna was sent, the invitation was sent as far as also, South America. Invitation went up to there. So, all Ratsuya Yajna was an opportunity for preaching, for spreading culture. In fact, the whole concept of Chakravarti was based on cultural conquest. Not based on physically making them apart. Not based on having the same defense force everywhere and ensuring the same, enforcing the same thing everywhere. The laws had to be decentralized. The execution had to be decentralized. But cultural conquest was absolutely important. And that cultural conquest was not creating monotony everywhere, making everything the same, but ensuring that the purity of the principle is spread everywhere so that everyone gets a chance to uplift their consciousness. So we'll find all of them, therefore there's a name, there's a list, Yavanas, and Prabhupada read, Yavana was the name of the sons of Maharaj Ayati, was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. So like this, all these are described in the purport. So an aspect of Sanskriti is that it actually expands in a non-threatening manner, because the goal is uplifting. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told this Kurma Brahman, you stay here. Jare dekho tare ko. What is Krishnopadesh? Bhagavad Gita is Krishnopadesh. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishnopadesh. Mahabharata is Krishnopadesh. Spread this Krishnopadesh, the teaching of the scriptures. And then he said, Kabuna badi be tumar vishayata ranga punarapi yai thani pabe mora sangha. What an assurance Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him. He said that if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. If you are trying to maintain your principles of sadhana and trying to spread to the extent possible, yatha shakti, sharing it with others, of course you can only share that which you practice. So that's important. Integral. Janma sartak kari kari paropta. First, let there be integrity and meaningfulness in one's life. And yes, that's why very naturally one wants to share with others. So, Kurma Brahman had just, prior to all this conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had actually washed the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Charanamrita had been distributed in the family, and he had just said that we are all most fortunate that you have come here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that I will come back and create that best fortune for you again. I will come back here. Kabuna badibe tomara vishay taranga punarabi yai thani pabe mora sangha. If you follow this instruction, your material life will not be obstructed and we will meet here. Rather, you will never lose my company. So same experience and happiness you have of serving me here, you will actually get that happiness again. You will not be deprived of it. And this was the sincerity of the Kurma Brahman. He accepted this advice. Of course, he was so inspired by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice and so touched. And it's very natural. And he followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a distance. And until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thereafter left to meet many others. It's explained every day he would have prasadam at the house of some Brahmana, Kurma Brahmana, and advise them. So Kurma Brahmana is only given as a representative example because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created this transformation in the hearts of many others. So we can see this transformation when there's a healthy fear and there's a desire to serve. Both are required. If one, out of healthy fear, reserves into a cocoon, thinking, what about me? I need to be protected. Then that doesn't go well with the concept of Sanskriti, because any Sanskriti, and you see so many places in the world where the traces of Sanskriti are there, but somehow many of them, Mayan civilization, they're all in ruins. Why? Because they were not backed by the Tattvic, this principle centered centric understanding. So just spreading of culture is not sufficient. Based on this understanding that for this to remain alive, you need to share. So therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, not only you make your life meaningful, you also share with others. That way you will create a win-win situation. We very often give this analogy of clock and compass, right? But what do we refer to as clock? We mean the speed at which we move in life, right? And compass is often related to the direction you should take. And we often like to quote some Western authors on this. But actually the word Samskriti encompasses both the clock and the compass. Kriti is about clock, you have to be active. And Samyak is about direction. What is the direction? The direction is always that the senses are subordinate to the mind. The mind is subordinate to the intelligence. The intelligence is subordinate to the Atma. What is the direction? The direction is that everything is, any desire you have is subordinate to Dharma. That's a direction. If you keep within that direction, that is a compass, then you can be active. You can be expanding. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told this Kurma Brahman, encouraging him rather than discouraging him. Encouraged him in his desire, but asked him not to withdraw. Rather, go out and transform the lives of others. Become an instrument. What you have received, share with others. Now, very soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, there was another Brahmana who was also following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he was aspiring to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a leper, Vasudev. Now he had such Kushta Roga in his body that so many worms were there all over his body. And we were talking about the slug. I mean, Vasudev, the leper, there were slugs all over, slug-like creatures all over his body. But a moment this creature would fall down, he would pick it up and chant the holy names and put it back on his body. Because he thought this body is anyways not being useful to me, let the worms at least make use of them. When he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the house of a Kurma Brahmana, he was very eager to meet him. It said that Vasudeva nama eka dvija mahashaya sarvange golita kushta tata kidamaya. So it's explained that Prabhu ra gamana kurma mukhe te shuniya bhumite padila dukhe murchita hana. So when he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has went to the house of Kurma Brahman, he developed aspirations to meet him. Moment he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left the house of the Kurma Brahman, he had left that desha, he fell down unconscious. However, his intensity to meet Lord Chaitanya was so high, that's explained that it drew Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back. Aneka prakara vilapa korite lagila saikshane ashe prabhu tanre alangila. So saikshane, at that time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back. He came back and he embraced. Now to embrace Vasudev, whose entire body was filled with worms, was a very painful experience to Vasudev. So prabhu kripa dekhi tanra vismaya hoila mana. He was first of all very completely surprised by seeing Lord Chaitanya's compassion. And shloka padi pare dhari kareya sthavana. He started glorifying the Supreme Lord. Kvaham dharitra papiyam. Kva Krishna Shriniketana. He remembered this beautiful relation between Lord Krishna and Sudama. Sudama was offering these prayers. Who am I? Kvaham dharitra papiyam. I'm poor, friend of a Brahmana. And Kva Krishna Shriniketana. You are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are Krishna himself. But immediately what happened after that, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Vasudev, his body became so lustrous. He was completely freed from the Kushta Rog. This created a fear in the heart of Vasudev. Kintu achilan bala adharma hana ebe ahankara moro janma be asiya. He said adharma. He said that I might become proud that this body, this beautiful form that you have actually given me back, is because of you. Because of that association, people will praise me. I'll take pride in that association I'll start contemplating on how I can increase my pride. Oh Lord, I'll just get more implicated. Again, we see an example of this healthy fear. So, Prabhu kahe, what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advise? Very beautiful. Kabhu tomara nahoi be abhiman. You'll never become abhimani. Why? Because nirantara kahatu bhi Krishna Krishna naam. You constantly chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Purify your existence. Completely focus your attention on the purpose of this human form of life, which is to increase your devotion to Krishna and do whatever is required to increase others' devotion to Krishna. Creating that devotional atmosphere. If you do this, then where will be the time required? Where will you have the space required to fill your mind with self-exaggerated praise and abhiman, and not occupy your mind? Because if you fill a glass with water, then where is a place for air to enter that glass? So after being advised like this by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, Krishna upadeshi kara jivera nistar acharate Krishna toma koribe rangikar. He also told him, you spread, you preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna will very soon accept you. Another beautiful interaction of how, yes, the Vasudeva was actually already on a very high platform, feeling compassion for the worms that would leave his body. Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to impress upon everyone that whether you are Vasudeva, the leper, or the Kurma Brahmana, you have to think about how to use this human form of life for its perfection. How to use a faculty, the senses. Whether one has a dilapidated body or one has a beautiful body blessed by the Lord, both have their purpose. So you don't have to become proud about the body. You can engage it in Swadharma. Instead of being, and while maintaining a healthy fear about how ahankar might perpetrate because of prakrite kriyamana ani gune karmani sarvasha. Thinking that all that is being engaged by the Lord's material nature, I take all the credit upon myself. Now this whole process of expanding one's consciousness and including the pain and the distress of others, it's epitomized by a great personality, Vasudev. Again, the Madhya Leela chapter 15 is a very beautiful pastime where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling devotees in Jagannath Puri to go back and preach in Bengal. And while there, he has beautiful interaction with devotees one-on-one. And amongst them was Vasudev. Now, Vasudev Datta, he had great desire that everyone in this world be who are entangled with this thought process of I and mine, that may all of them get liberated. And in fact, in exchange for their being liberated, may I incur their papa. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with Vasudev is very illustrative, because he is explaining to Vasudev that this compassion you have for others is actually most glorious. Thinking about others and not feeling the pain. In fact, it is not that Vasudev Datta, when he was making this prayer, he was hoping that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would find some shortcut for him. Right? He actually meant it. That may I actually incur the pap of everyone in this world. That was his feeling of pain for others. He was experiencing Atma Pamyena Sarvatra Samam Pashyati Arjuna. What Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the way he glorified this intention is amazing. He says, oh Vasudev, why do you have to suffer the pains and pangs of others, the pap of others? Simply by your desire. And simply by your association, others will get delivered. There's a profound point in what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Vasudev. Inculcating this desire is so important. Feeling for others, for the pain of others. Yet at the same time, it is not that one can actually exchange papa with others. I mean, it's actually not part of our karma process. right? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one doesn't have, of course, in some sects they talk of Jannat and whatever, right? So there is some eternal damnation. And again, this is very clearly saying that that is not the case. Nobody is eternally damned. Everyone can be elevated in their consciousness. So he said, why do you have to trade off? It is not that you have to suffer for them. He's saying that actually just by your desire, they are all liberated. This is the glory of great personalities, the legacy that is left by not only the book Bhagavat, but the person Bhagavat. Those who are trying to sincerely follow the book Bhagavat. They create this inspiration in our hearts. We may not be able to pray like Vasudev, but at least we can imbibe a fraction of that consciousness. Because by being absorbed in how I can become an instrument of change in the life of others, one actually moves from just Prakriti to Samskriti. Nowadays there's a lot of 16 samskaras, talk of Sola samskara, because samskara is very closely related to Samskriti. Because samskara is a process of purifying the senses. Samskara is often executed at an individual level, whereas Samskriti is what the entire civilization, the society facilitates samskaras. Because the society is based out of Samskriti. However, one should understand that even the 16 samskaras are only a manifestation, a culmination of that underlying process. It's not that just by doing the 16 samskaras, I'm done, right? Because it is that cultivating the desire, what is the hetu? That has to be cultivated. Just like, just to conclude with the last example, we see again, in the 15th chapter of the Madhya Leela, Sarvam Bhattacharya is so keen to have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his house for prasadam. In the same chapter, there's a description of Raghav Pandit's offering of coconut. How Raghav Pandit was so specific, he wanted the best quality coconut offered to Lord Chaitanya, to the Supreme Lord. And then there is this description of how Sarva Bhattacharya wanted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come home for prasadam. And then there's the entire bargaining. Sarva Bhattacharya said, please come home for 30 days, the entire month. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I'll come for one day. And then Sarva Bhattacharya says, please come for 15 days. He says, I'll come for one day. Please come for 10 days. I'll come for one day. 5 days. Finally, they agreed upon 5 days. So 5 days, Lord Chaitanya would go to Sarva Bhattacharya's house for honoring prasadam. Such warmth that he exhibited. And then, of course, along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were other associates who were also served by Sarva Bhattacharya. There, in that context, when wonderful offerings are prepared by Sarva Bhattacharya for satisfaction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu says, all this is meant for Krishna. He said, yes, but I have made this offering to Krishna already. And in fact, the asana is also offered to Krishna. Please honor. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, how did you manage this big preparation, Bhattacharya? Who gave you all the resources? So Bhattacharya, such a beautiful poetic rendition. He says that personality who is going to accept this offering also gave us the strength to prepare these offerings. Again, a very seemingly simple statement. But Sarva Bhattacharya in his consciousness, sometimes we make some effort and we feel, oh, what a Herculean effort. And we want the whole world to know about it. So the same ahankara that we read in this purport about enjoying material objects can also permeate one's enjoying results of devotional activities. But Sarva Bhattacharya, he explains the consciousness that because he attributed all this to the Supreme Lord, there was such a happy, jovial atmosphere that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt very inviting. Lord Chaitanya said, I can't eat so many offerings. So many offerings. Sarva Bhattacharya said, oh Lord, we know how much you are capable of eating. There are so many 50 offerings in a day in Jagannath Puri. Is that the amount? 50 offerings in a day in Jagannath Puri. And each offering has so many pots. You accept all of that. We know that in Dwarka, how many queens you had? 16,108. But that's not all. You had also 8 mothers. Because sometimes mother is more keen to surpassed the feeding of the wives. You ate at all of their houses. And not only that, in Vrindavan also we know, every household was keen to feed you. Brahma Vimohan Leela was all orchestrated because every household, every gopi wanted to feed Krishna. So in this way, he gives such beautiful, compelling reasons. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is completely bought in. So the Lord has actually unlimited capacity to reciprocate. And he also has provided unlimited capacity to serve, the facility to serve. One can try and imbibe the consciousness that Sarva Mathacharya is urging us to imbibe. Which is, yes, the resources may appear to be unlimited, but Krishna, even with the current resources for serving, he can not only perfectly reciprocate, he can expand the resources in such a way that he can be satisfied. The same resource can be expanded so that he is satisfied. So all that is required is for us to cultivate this this udarta, as they say, this openness in mind, that this body, this life is just not for myself. I have to transcend my prakriti and make myself, my existence, an agency of transformation in the lives of others to the best possible extent. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.